the latest on WWE Raw and SmackDown, and how to book WrestleMania 40 Night 2. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on The Squared Circle by Creative Control.
Acknowledge me!
Hello and welcome to Creative Control, the entertainment podcast. I'm your host, Kenan, and thank you for joining us on this week's episode. You are joining us for The Squared Circle. So this is the WWE branch of our podcast, and we are going to be talking WrestleMania. Joining me from the Creative Control team, we have Neil, as always, and one of our newest members, Nick, also from that Superhero Thing podcast. Nick and Neil, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
It's good to have you back, gentlemen. And we're back for the second of a two-parter. So if you haven't checked it out, in our last episode of The Squared Circle, how we would book WrestleMania 40, we started with night one. So we are now here for night two. And we kind of used the matches that are already existing as a template. But then we would say kind of what we would do with those matches, who we would want to go over in those matches, and some of the additional matches that we would like to see, which haven't been announced. And we've only got about just over a week, probably about 10 days to go until WrestleMania. And the card, it still needs some filling out. So there's still some matches definitely to be announced. And whether they'll take our lead and some of our ideas, we'll see. But that's what we're going to delve into. So we'll do a quick recap on what we're doing for night one, so you know what we've already booked. And then we're going to go in and book night two. First of all, before we jump in, I just want to say thank you very much for being here. And thank you for watching or listening, wherever you are. You can catch the video version of Creative Control on YouTube and Spotify, and you can get the audio version on any major podcast platform. As always, we'd appreciate you hit that like and subscribe button, and please make sure you share the content, whether you enjoy us or you don't. You can share it out of joy or of irony. So hatred. There we go.
Yeah. Share it because you love us, or share it because you want to tell people how uncool we are, and then have them tell you you're an idiot when they say that they do.
That's it. Gentlemen, WrestleMania 40. Let's talk a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about our booking for night one. We'll talk a little bit about what happened then on SmackDown and Raw last week, and then we'll go into night two. So just as a recap, I'm going to run down my WrestleMania night one. I started off with the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and I'm not a fan of the pre-show, as I said, so I'd have it on the main show. But if we were having this pre-show, I'd probably find this would be fitting on there, because it's a way of getting all the wrestlers into the ring without having sort of like 20, 30 different entrance themes to start the show off. So it is a way to kick it off. And I'd have Chad Gable winning that bit of a redemption arc. But I would have put in a stipulation that whoever wins the Battle Royal gets a shot at the Intercontinental Championship. So that is something that I would do to kind of push those mid-carders up to that mid-belt. And that's what I would do. Second match I had was LA Knight and AJ Styles. I had LA Knight going over for this. Again, I would have liked to have seen him in a title picture in this WrestleMania, but it's not to be at the moment. So I would have booked him as part of the US title. But as it stands, I'm going to go with LA Knight, AJ Styles. I'm going to book LA Knight to go over. Then I would have the Undisputed WWE Tag Team Championship match, and that's going to be the Judgment Day versus DIY versus the New Day versus Awesome Truth versus New Catch Republic and versus Waller and Austin Theory. Those are going to be the teams that I was going to be putting forward. And we came up, and I think most of us were on a consensus of this, was we were going to split the tag titles in dramatic fashion on the first night. So it's very much going to be a case of Awesome Truth, so probably R-Truth, going up and grabbing a belt, and whether he takes two off and drops one, or we have two up at the brass ring at the same time, and they both come away with a belt each, splitting the tag titles. And that way we, you know, expand the tag team division. We have champions on both SmackDown and Raw, and it's definitely the way to go. I would have had Awesome Truth going over on for the Raw side, and then I think we'd want that heel on the other side, and I think Waller and Theory would that would be a real great mix. As much as I don't like them, I think it's from a booking perspective, that is where I need to go with it. Then I was going to have Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton. I wanted to delve into the Bianca Belair streak because she's 3-0 at WrestleMania, so I wanted her to focus more on the fact that she wants to go 4-0 at WrestleMania. Tiffany Stratton, up and coming, fantastic wrestler and character, is really solid on the mic as well. But it's not a win for her. I need to book Bianca Belair and keep that streak going. And Tiffany, great things to come down the line. Then I was going to have Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits versus Karrion Kross and AOP. And for us, and especially me, Karrion Kross has to go over, because if he doesn't at this point, there's nowhere for him really to go if you can't take this advantage. So that's where I was booking that. Then I was going for the...
love him.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. There's always somewhere to go.
Exactly.
Then I have the Intercontinental Championship, Gunther versus Sami Zayn. For me, the General keeps hold of that title. He doesn't lose it. Sami had his moment last year. This is not his time. I'd like to see someone like Chad maybe win it down the line, maybe a SummerSlam or something like that. But Gunther, I think for the year he's had, I'd like him to keep hold of that title moving forward. And then I have an entertainment section. So I'm going to have Trish and Lita come out to the crowd. It's WrestleMania 40. So we want to celebrate some of the wrestlers of the past. And Candice LeRae, she's been a bit of a bully on Raw over the last few weeks. So I'd have Trish Stratus and Lita kind of give her a bit of a comeuppance. And this is what happens to bullies kind of moment. Then that will lead us into the WWE Women's Championship, Io Sky versus Bayley. This is a Bayley win for me. This has to be. She is well-deserved, winning the Rumble. And the way the story's progressed, that's who I'm booking to go over. Then we're going into an entertainment section, and I'll have the Hall of Fame. We come up with a really good concept where obviously Paul Heyman is going to be one of the head of the class, and then that could pretty much lead straight into our main event, which is Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins versus The Rock and Roman Reigns. So that is the main event of the night, and it's The Rock going over, The Rock and Roman with the win, tearing apart Cody and Seth, and really setting up as kind of the analogy we've mentioned before of the Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. So night one is very much Infinity War, having the good guys lose and the bad guys taking over. And on retrospect, we talked about how potentially Jimmy and Jay should have been on night one and having Jimmy go over. And as I do like that idea, but I stuck with what I have for now. But so that was my night one. Neil, do you want to go over your night one?
Yeah. Very, very similar to yours, but certain changes. I didn't write it down as we were discussing it, so I just have the original template, so some things may be different. Yeah. But I did have Andre Battle Royale, in which I had Chad Gable win, just like you. Mm-hmm. I did have, I think my next match was Bayley versus Io.
That's right.
Which would have been a Bayley win. Mm-hmm. I think after that was the Tag Team Championships. Mm-hmm. And again, I had Awesome Truth, and I think originally I'd written DIY.
Yeah.
But it is better, definitely. Awesome Truth, win Raw, and Waller and Great, and Grayson Waller and Austin Theory to win on the SmackDown side of things. Mm-hmm. Then I had Gunther versus Sammy. Clean Gunther demolishment. Just a nice, good old fashioned slap the tar out of you and win, right? Yeah. Then I had the LA Knight AJ Styles, and I had LA winning, which kind of sucks, because when I think about it, every time I've seen AJ Styles in a WrestleMania match, I'm pretty sure he's lost.
Yeah, actually, on that record,
because
didn't he beat Shinsuke?
Didn't he lose to Shane McMahon, or did he win that match?
Don't know.
Oh, I can't remember.
But I think he might have lost.
Yeah, I know he had a couple of matches with Shinsuke, and it kept ending in a kick into the bollocks, didn't it?
Yeah, but he beat Shinsuke, didn't he, for the title?
He retained the WWE Championship at WrestleMania against Shinsuke.
Yeah.
And then he's lost pretty much all the rest that I remember.
Mm-hmm. At least he won one.
He's got a win, so it doesn't matter if he loses. Yeah. After that, I do believe it was the main event, which was Cody and Seth versus Rock and Roman. Mm-hmm. And I think it was piggybacking off of what you said about Paul Heyman. I think it was like I had the hostility of having The Rock come out, Roman come out. And like it's like having all of the Anoa'i family who are alive and could possibly be there, having all of them in line, just kind of like as an honor guard for Rock and Roman to come out, but then have them remain there when Cody and Seth got to come out. And even if it was like Cody and Seth come out first, and they're just like, yeah,
I'm not really intimidation. Celebrating
stuff.
And I think also it put into effect, it meant that with Cody coming out for with both Cody and Seth being able to come out for night two, when they come out, then it's a real big pop because it's the fact that you couldn't really pop for them when they were coming to the ring because, you know, Cody couldn't put his hands out because it was like, you put your hands out, you're touching Anoa'i
snapped off.
You got a match, but you could get it beforehand. And so I think that was what I had for night one. If I did have any other matches for night one, I do not remember. But
no, I think that was pretty much it from what I remember. Yeah. All right. Solid. Nick, do you remember much of your night one?
No.
No.
Not really.
Nick absolutely winged it
last week. Completely. Nor did I write anything down at the end of last week. So today I tried to remember what I wrote, what I said. And I think I've tweaked a couple of bits because I realized that I had everybody in night one and I wasn't leaving anything for night two. So I've got I've got a new version. I think it's quite close. Right. It's pretty close to yours, Kenan, to be honest. So I've got the Usos opening the show. Brother versus brother.
Yeah, you did.
Like we said last week, massive pop. Jay's music opening the show. I just think it's going to be phenomenal. Yeah. And I've got Jimmy winning that match because, as we said, we're going down the Infinity War route.
Yeah. Is it going to be via shenanigans? Is Solo going to get involved?
It's got to be. Can't be clean. Clean. Good. I've then got, very similar to you for the rest of it, to be honest, I've got LA Knight versus AJ Styles. LA Knight for the win. I've got the tag team ladder match. Again, same as you said.
Finish.
I've got Grayson and Waller and R-Truth and The Miz. I'm kind of wondering whether they're going to get alternate titles. So as in like R-Truth and The Miz going to get the SmackDown titles and Grayson Waller and Theory That's get the Raw shot. Ones. Maybe have a bit of a swap or maybe have them both crossing between both shows. I think that'd be quite interesting. I've then got the Final Testament and basically the Final Testament. That's what they call now, including that guy with the glove. I don't know who he is, but he's just there every week. I've got him versus Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits. 100% Karrion Kross has got to win this. Otherwise, he's off to AEW or even TNA if he's not careful. Yeah. I've then got Gunther versus Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Same as you. I've got Gunther for the win. Don't think Sami, it's not Sami's day for this, to be honest. No. Then I've got Bayley versus Io Sky and then wrapping it up with Bloodline Rules match. And again, I've got The Rock pinning Seth for the win. That's it.
Oh, you got Seth?
Oh, I think I said Cody last week, didn't I?
Yeah,
I'm going Cody. I don't know. Into a corner here. I think a little bit of me feels like it might be Seth.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I mean, it does protect Cody a little bit then, rather than him.
Seth. I don't think Cody can take the pin. I also don't think Roman can make the pin either. I think it's all going to be on The Rock. So yeah,
anyway, these aren't predictions. This is how you'd book
it. We'll talk about that. That's me. Yeah. And then I'm ready. I've had to think up some matches, guys, because I can't, there's not enough to fill the seven. But I'm going to have a go.
All right. Very similar. I think a lot of this came out because obviously the way we collaborated on the last episode, we were like, I like this, I like this. And we started picking off each other's ideas and created this this Ultimates card. So look, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown. I didn't watch the whole thing, but I'm just going to talk a little bit about the main event. So obviously Cody came and had his interaction with Roman. It was nice to have Roman on the mic for a little bit, which was nice. But you know, it was a whole setup thing where he obviously brought the Bloodline out. But Cody wasn't alone, and they kind of finished off in this standoff. And, you know, it was quite a nice touch. It was kind of
very predictable, but very cool.
But it was. Yeah, exactly that. Exactly that. Yeah, what did you guys think of SmackDown? Was there any other things on SmackDown you guys wanted to talk about or mention?
I couldn't remember anything else about it, if I'm really honest.
See, I didn't watch the whole show.
Which is most SmackDowns recently.
Yeah. I think I was comfortable with the fact that they've, like, they're clearly introducing Jade Cargill, so they introduced the fact that she's going to have a match.
Yes, she's signed for SmackDown now. Yeah. Correct.
Officially
signed. Haven't said who the match is, though, have they?
No. It'll probably be enhancement talent, because it's so close to WrestleMania, there's no point in giving her anybody. I mean, if anybody, it'd probably be like Meacham. It'd be somebody who you can, like, comfortably say, you know what, you're going to have a match, you're going to go over, they're a solid worker, so they're going to make you look amazing.
Yeah. And Zelina Vega. It's going to be Meacham and Zelina Vega, isn't it?
I want them to. I mean, I can imagine, it might be Zelina Vega. But then again, now that Rey Mysterio is back, I can imagine they'll be busy with
essentially,
like, whatever they set up for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Whereas the OC are doing nothing apart from showing up on NXT, apparently.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Meacham's by herself, so.
Do you know what? Right, that match, the OC versus, I can't remember who they fought. Who did the OC fight on SmackDown? Was it great? Oh, it was Waller and Theory. The OC, I was really impressed by them. I've not watched a match because, to be honest, I can't remember the last time they had a match that that wasn't just like them coming out and defending AJ. Mm-hmm. They were good. They were they really surprised me, but they just, it's this thing, isn't it, that you can be the best wrestler. I'm not saying they are the best, but you can be the best wrestler. And like Io Sky, for example. But if you're not good on the mic, you're just not, you're just not getting anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think that's an example of good wrestlers who just aren't good at promos.
Yeah, but I'd agree with that to a large extent, because they were like AJ's sidekicks, you know, for a lot of their time when they were on Raw and stuff like that. And but yeah, the matches that they have, they're very competent, they're very solid, and they've been working together a long time. And this tag team, you know, but you know, I think they've had successes on the independent and in Japan and stuff like that. So you know, but I just also think that because I think they're the kind of characters that because Raw and SmackDown, it was so scripted, they struggled with those promos, as opposed if they were to have a little bit more freedom on the mic, I think it would come across a lot more natural, because they almost went into a bully stage, weren't they? Like they were calling people like squares and poindexters and nerds. That was it, nerds. Just like when you have that freedom on the mic, you know, because I rewatched Enzo and Cass, like their little feud with them, and just that's the difference of being great on the mic, know, and just having that charisma, as opposed to where the OC struggle a bit. Neil, what were you going to say about the OC?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that it's like, because I love wrestling, so I was like, I've watched people in like New Japan, and I love the Bullet Club.
Yeah.
So watching a lot of Bullet Club stuff and seeing, like, you know, the Bullet Club, the original Bullet Club was Finn Bálor and Karl Anderson.
Right. Okay.
And seeing, like, because it was like, I think because he was Machine Gun Karl Anderson, and they used to call Finn Bálor, when his name was Prince Devitt, they used to call him the Straight Shooter. So it was you got a Straight Shooter and the Machine Gun
Bullet Club.
Right. One thing that New Japan does is they have like a post-match. You know, WWE now has this like post-match thing. After the main events, they have like a press conference. New Japan's doing that all the time. And it's having them there. And because New Japan doesn't really have any restrictions, because, you know, most people in Japan, even if they can speak English, they are taking things in their native tongue. So you could have people swearing their head off after a match, talking about, look, I am that great, I am that good, you're a piece of shit, you're fucking weak, or whatever it is. And then you've got a translator who will translate it, and maybe they'll, you know, edit out the harsh language. But it's just having it there, and then people can really perform, because you're unreserved. You can say what you want. You can just get a basic little, okay, you've won, but you're turning heel. So say what you got to say. It's like, I won, you're a piece of shit. Then it's like, oh, okay, now you can work with it. Other than WWE, super, super, like, say every word exactly as it's written.
Yes.
And then, you know, you've got, like, Suffering Succotash.
Amazing. talking about swears, let's talk about how you don't fuck with The Rock. Raw, Cody Rhodes was out. talking about his time on SmackDown and the wank fest that Roman and The Rock wanted at WrestleMania wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. He got everyone to point to the sign. The Rock's entrance dropped. Oh, I love that entrance. I gotta say,
it's amazing.
That is the greatest entrance in WWE.
The way it kind of like happens, and it's like you hear the if you smell, and then like all that lightning, and then he just appears, but he appears like he's already walking when he appears, and then he stops. Yeah. And all I think of whenever I see that entrance, Infinity War, Thanos landing in Wakanda.
Yeah. 100%. 100%.
He just needs an infinity glove on his hand, and I'm just like, Thanos.
Yeah. Did you see that? Maybe that was a potential nod where, obviously, on SmackDown, you had Roman Reigns. He did the snap.
Yeah.
The bloodline come out. Yeah. A little Infinity War reference. But yeah, so he came out, and I think it was about 20 to 25 minutes into the show. And they must have stood and stared at each other for about 10 minutes in the ring without really moving. And he goes over to him and he said, tonight, I mean, you could read his lips, but he said, tonight, I'm going to make you bleed. Again, it is just chilling, walks out, you know, then the crowd start booing him. Rocky sucks, Rocky, because he hasn't done anything. And it's just like the way he can manipulate a crowd is fantastic. Yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Then we'll obviously skip to the end of the show. We have the match between Jay and Shinsuke. The bloodline come out to attack. Cody and Seth come out to help defend. Cody and Jimmy end out in the back, and The Rock then starts to attack Cody. And it was just a brilliant beatdown. And the fact that it was outside and in the rain, it just brought this like cinematic effect to it. And he just kept slapping him down.
When he kicked open that door and it was raining, and you just see The Rock, you're like, ah, perfect.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you wish you could have scripted this.
Yeah, absolutely. So ends up Cody bleeding. He takes off the belt. Mama Rhodes on the belt, puts the blood on it. He basically said, this is what happens when you fuck with The Rock. Obviously, it's all beeped out. But since then, on TikTok and Twitter, people have filmed it from when they were in the stadium. And you can hear the crowd, their reaction to when he swears. It's like, oh, my God. You know, it's like, is the PG era, like, officially over? Because
100%.
Drew kept referring to it, didn't he? Like, even when Punk was saying, he's like, there's that PG, brother. You know, and we'll talk about that segment. But yeah, just The Rock is just, he plays by his own rules, right? So what do you guys think of that segment?
Just amazing. Just the absolutely most, cinema.
The last time I think I'd seen a segment before a major event that I'd felt that like, oh my gosh, I can't wait, was probably, my mind is drifting towards WrestleMania 17.
Right, okay, yeah.
Because it was like, I think the last Raw before WrestleMania was The Rock stuns Austin and then leaves a beer can right next to his head.
Right.
I think that might have been the last one. That's the last time I really been like, wow, this was a moment. But I think this is probably the best since before Rock Austin won. The last time I really felt it was with, you know, Austin standing on top of the beer truck, you know, and he's like, because when The Rock kept saying about the whole SmackDown hotel, and then this is when Austin's on standing on top of the beer truck, and it's got, he's got Rock, Shane and Vince in the ring, and he's like, The Rock is going to make his way to Philadelphia. He says, Austin's going to make his way to Philadelphia, roll up to the SmackDown hotel, roll into room 316 and burn that son of a bitch to the ground. And I was like, ooh, you can't get better than that.
Yeah.
And then he just sprayed everyone with the beer hose and then left. And I was like, that's how you build a WrestleMania. This was that even better. Because it is this is like, I'm sure that the reason like Marvel films ain't doing too well is because all the best writers are probably just like on the phone with the Rock, like, listen, this is what you need to say, this is what you need to do. Because The Rock's beatdown of Cody, the man spent the whole first half of them being outside talking to someone who wasn't there. And it was the most gripping stuff you've ever heard. It was like, it was the equivalent of of Thanos' speech after he's stabbed Tony and he's like, you have my respect. I hope they remember you. This is what it felt like. It was just like, your heroes ain't nothing right now. And he's like, Mama Rhodes, Mama Rhodes, the Rock's a man of his word.
Yeah.
Here's the belt.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, look at it. Look at it. It's beautiful. Look at your son's blood. Oh, there it is. There it is. And I was just like, oh, I wish I wrote that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so good to have him back. And the thing is, if we had The Rock versus Roman, I think of all this we'd be missing. Do you know what I mean? It just wouldn't have been the same because Rock would have been the face, right?
Yeah. So, and that's the thing is, I think people forget your hero is only as good as your villain.
Absolutely.
If your villain is, you know, Malekith from Thor the Dark World,
I knew you were going back to Marvel. I knew it.
Ain't much to play with, right?
No.
But if your villain is Killmonger, someone who, even no matter how horrible he is, people can get behind him and be like, yeah, you know what? It's kind of making a little bit of sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it does because he says, you know, he said he was going to step aside. I was going to have the match with Roman, but then he changed his mind and now he's chatting crap about my family. So he's kind of navigated it to say, this is all his fault. I'm like, to be fair, he brought it on himself.
And that's the thing is when you think about it, if anyone but Cody won the Royal Rumble, would it even have been an issue?
Yeah. Yeah. True.
If CM Punk won the Rumble, it'd probably be Rock versus Roman.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be. Absolutely. Right? Yeah.
And we would have missed out on the final boss and all of this beauty leading to what I think is going to happen. Cody prevails. And then we get a Rock versus Roman in such a way where you're like, they legitimately have a reason to be pissed with each other.
Yes.
They're not just vying for this. I'm not being disrespectful, but they're not vying for this imaginary crown of the tribal chief.
Head of the table. Yeah.
You know, you're not vying for that. It's just simply, I think you cost me the title. No, I think that you didn't deserve the title because I did all the heavy lifting 24 hours ago and you still couldn't get the job done.
Yeah.
No, exactly. Absolutely. But the beauty of that, though, is when we get the Rock versus Roman, if we'd got it at WrestleMania, like you said, we would have had Roman being the heel and The Rock as the face. And I feel like we're now going to lean to Roman being the face-ish and The Rock being the heel.
Believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the way
it's completely should be. It's a complete paradigm shift, but it's 10 times better than you could have imagined it if it all happened this month.
Mm. Yeah, because, you know, you can almost see, like, it might not happen at the end of WrestleMania, but maybe it might happen the night after Raw, where Rock beats down on Roman for losing, or costing them, you know, the whole bloodline thing.
There'll be a glare, disrespecting glare the fan at the end of the match.
Yeah, there'll be a glare at the end of the match.
But you know what I can see happening? Just as you were speaking, I could just hit into my head. Is I can imagine that Raw after WrestleMania, they're talking, the whole bloodline is there, they're all talking, and then how I can see it going is like, maybe, I don't know, one of them probably, you know how Roman was dealing with Jay after they lost the titles at last WrestleMania? And he's like, you thought we weren't going to talk about this? And he's like pushing him in his face and everything, super kick and the save and all of that. Now imagine that reversed, but imagine now it's The Rock and he's telling them to do it, right? And then he's like, solo. And he's like, deal with Roman. And then obviously that's where the crisis of conscience comes because Solo's always like, I don't say nothing. I do as I'm told. I'm the enforcer. But then he's like, tribal
what
chief
do I do here?
Or high chief.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and then Jimmy always talking when he shouldn't.
Yeah.
Maybe he says something and maybe The Rock claps him down. And then maybe at that point, you know what? Maybe Roman's like, I'm not having this. And then maybe you have a Jay come out and it's like,
yeah, save Roman.
You know, it's maybe Jay comes out for the simple fact of he's trying to be like, nah, that's still my brother.
Yeah.
You know, Solo, that's still my brother.
Yeah.
We're not having this happen. And then it's the bloodline versus the final boss, to which the final boss just annihilates them.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's your SummerSlam build.
What if Cody's the one to stop him beating up Roman? To lead to a Rock v Cody and then a Rock versus Roman? Because I want both those matches.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Cody
right.
doing the honorable thing, like, no, don't beat him up. And then that starts that next feud, gives Roman a break for a little bit, and then Roman can come back after Cody Rock.
That's right. Because Roman will need his rematch, right?
Exactly. So
there's no automatic rematches anymore.
There isn't actually anymore. There isn't. Yeah. All right. Okay. Let's talk about, just going to touch on Sami Zayn. I'm a little bit worried that Sami might end up winning because they had him lose on Raw this week. You know, he's he's distracted. Like, Chad Gable's there trying to reassure him, saying, look, you need to focus on tonight. Don't worry about WrestleMania. He let it get inside of his head and he got beaten by Bronson Reed.
Yeah.
And, you know, Gunther's just like, he can't win. There's just no chance. And they're really playing into that now. And I'm just like, oh, I really don't want this to be a, you know, underdog story when he comes up and win.
But what if this is all a build up to Sami stepping down? What if this is all a build to Sami stepping down and giving it to Gable? Because otherwise it doesn't make sense. That's just wishful thinking. But
say that, but I mean, despite what we have predicted, despite what we have booked, there is at this moment in time no Andre the Giant Battle Royale.
There is not.
No.
So at this moment in time, Chad Gable is doing nothing at WrestleMania.
That's right.
But he's doing something now, isn't he? He's too heavily involved in this Sami story for him not to be part of it in some way.
It's very strange for them to continue that relationship and, like, say, him, like, coaching Sami through it almost.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to turn Chad heel, you know, like something happens and then he does Sami over and he turns him heel. Who knows? He's just like, that need to win, and then he just double-crosses Sami.
That'd only work. That'd only work if Sami wins. Sami wins and then Gable comes in and
cheers with him and then just
chaos theories him across the ring.
All right. And then let's just talk a little bit about CM Punk and Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre.
Yes.
What a segment.
Amazing. Right? Punk's just made that match 10 times more interesting.
You are very well aware of my feelings towards the man born Phil Brooks. I do not like him. I've never liked him. I've never to like him. So I don't care anything to do with him being present, right? Him not being at WrestleMania is fine. But his whole talk of like, you know, I'm going to make you two interesting. Oh, your stupid sword. Oh, your bell bottoms. Oh, your wife. I was like, shut up.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Neil's not a fan.
He's like, I'm going to make you relevant. Seth won the Royal Rumble and beat Brock Lesnar to win the Universal Championships. Shut up. Right? The most interesting thing about CM Punk's match with Brock Lesnar was him gripsing up Paul Heyman's tie. Be quiet. Right? Stop your noise. Right? Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre eliminated Brock Lesnar to win. You know, he eliminated him and then made the whole Royal Rumble interesting. He then beat Brock Lesnar. He kicked out of an F5 at one. Stop your talking. Stop your noise. Right?
Drew is hard done by because he was champion just at the wrong time. You know,
definitely.
COVID, empty arenas, and but I think it's almost given us a better version of Drew now because of that. I think he's just absolutely on fire at the moment, and he wore both his t-shirts in the end. And you can actually, as much as they're kind of playing into it, you really feel like he's getting under CM Punk's skin. You can actually feel like almost a genuine frustration there from him. But I thought it was a fantastic segment between the three of them. And it looks like he's probably going to commentate on the match.
Yeah.
I don't see how he can't get involved in the match in somehow, but I don't know which way he would lean because he doesn't like either of them.
I think he'll be completely down the middle, to be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing. If he doesn't like either of them, he would be down the middle.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think he's going to start off commentating and early in the match, ref's going to get a bang on the head. No referee, no official. Mm-hmm. Punk will be straight in there.
Yeah.
I can imagine something happening where Drew or Seth, one of them's going to push CM Punk too far. He's going to retaliate, do something to one of them, and then the other will capitalize on that for the win. Okay, maybe he clocks Drew or something happens to Drew and he loses it. And then that's a match that's already built up. Like you're saying, it doesn't need a title on the line. Yeah. The same thing could be said for Seth. You know, he gets in his face, hits him, Drew wins. You can have a match between Seth and CM Punk without a title on the line. We've chatted for a little while now. We haven't even gotten to night two yet. So let's talk about how we're going to book WrestleMania. I will go with my opening match. This is WrestleMania 14, night two. My first match. Like the first night, I'm going to have the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royale. Right. Anybody who's not on the card, they're going to have a Battle Royale. Unfortunately, unlike the men's, they don't have that mid-card title. So I would have liked to have seen, obviously, this something be the equivalent of a Women's Intercontinental title match. Mm-hmm. But maybe it potentially could lead to a number one contender match. You know, why not? Yeah, and I had Chelsea Green going over in the Women's Battle Royale. She would just eat that up and just use that title to great effect in terms of her achievements. So yeah, that was my opening match. Neil, what have you got?
So this is weird. Even though I, like yourself, not a pre-show guy, I think the nature of my opening match means that I would have, I don't know what it's called now, but I would have had my Mae Young Classic. Well, not the Mae Young Classic. That's the actual tournament. But I would have had my... It was called the Fabulous Moolah, and then they realized that she was a horrible person.
Yeah,
something I'd like have that. My Women's Battle Royal on the pre-show.
Yeah, pre-show.
I would have Jade Cargill win it.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Because I just need... Just to set her up as a dominant force. She was last three in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
And... yeah, she's lost three in the Royal Rumble. You need to hype her up. And I'll just like, just have her win the Battle Royal. Because you're saying that of every woman in the WWE who's in that Battle Royale, Rhea's not in there. Bayley's not in there. Becky's not in there. Io won't be in there. Chances are... Charlotte's definitely not in there. Kabuki Warrior is not in there. So what you're saying is that essentially, for all intents and purposes, the big guns, the masters of Shadaloo ain't gonna be there.
Yeah.
So what you're gonna have instead is every other woman on the roster. Which works in her favor because you want to hype her up. But you're saying she's better than all the rest. Now you just need to see her go up against the big names.
Yeah. Good shout.
You know, and even more thinking about it now, I think probably the best way to finish that would have it like have the last two competitors be her and Nia Jax and have her once again dump Nia Jax out.
Jax over, yeah.
And then her first rivalry is against Nia Jax.
Nia Jax, yeah. Good shout. Yeah, I like that.
But my first match, Jimmy versus Jay.
Oh, yeah, night two, sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
because I never had them on my night one. I said if they were on night one, Jimmy should win.
Yes.
But I would have them on my night two. I would have Jay win. But I would have Jay extend his hand in friendship to Jimmy.
Right.
I just haven't figured out whether or not Jimmy...
whether he's exit.
Whether he takes it or not, yeah.
I haven't had him... because I feel like if he... it works either way. Probably have him ignore it. Probably have him get up, sour looking, extends his hand, and he's out the ring. He's just like, nah, I'm out. I'm not with this. Because that leads to everything that's going to happen later on in the night. And also it leads to that eventual moment when you do have the Usos eventually come back together.
And Nick, what have you got first up?
I'm not 100% what I've got first up, because I know I've got Rey Mysterio something.
Yeah.
But I don't know what. I'm thinking at first, my train of thought at first was because Dom interrupted on SmackDown.
That's right.
I thought, this is it. We're getting Dom versus Rey round two. Mm-hmm. I think it's not had enough of a build up to be doing that at WrestleMania though. Mm-hmm. So I backtracked a little bit, and I think it's probably going to be something as simple as tying up this LWO versus what is it, Legado de Fantasma, whatever they're called.
Yeah.
So we're gonna have. I'm thinking it's either gonna be. Let's go with that. Let's go LWO versus Legado de Fantasma. And I think what we're going to then get is, I think Rey and LWO will win it. Mm-hmm. I think at first we will have an interruption from Dom, trying to sway it in Legado's favor. Mm-hmm. And then I think we're going to have an interruption from Andrade, who's going to beat down on Dom to stop him doing it. And that's going to be the lead to our Dom versus Andrade feud.
Yeah.
Going forward after WrestleMania. And I think, as I said, I think LWO will win it. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be it needs to be a bit of a setup as well. But tying up that story.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
Yeah, no, that actually makes sense. And that actually is my second match of the night. So I've got sort of like Rey and the LWO with Escobar and the rest. Sort of like probably maybe a 3-on-3.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah, I think that makes sense, because it kind of then matches a little bit like the first night where we have Bobby and the Street Profits and Kieran Cross and the AOP. So yeah, kind of 3-on-3. It's a faction war basically, and it's just like to get that rivalry over. So yeah, I agree. So that'd be my match number two. But if my Battle Royal was on the pre-show, then it'd end up being my first match. So yeah, agreed. Well, that covers that. So Neil, what's your second match?
Weird one. Seth versus Drew.
Really? Number two? Okay.
Initially,
I
was going to have Seth versus Drew as match one.
Right. Okay.
You open the show with that.
Mm-hmm. I could see that happening, though, at the same time.
Yeah.
So initially, I was going to have that as match one, but I think Jay's entrance... Mm-hmm. is at this moment more impactful than Seth's entrance.
Yeah, I agree.
Right. Yeah, but
the thing is, I think the match between Seth and Drew will be better than the match between Jimmy and Jay. So I think you get the loud pop from Jay's entrance, officially WrestleMania Night 2 has started, and you start with a bloodline match, Jay versus Jimmy, and as soon as you hear that, it's going to go, the place is going to go nuts.
It's going to be bouncing, isn't it?
And then you have that, but that match isn't going to be really big.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a good match,
but it's not be good, going but a to lot be, of super kicks. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of super kicks, an Uso splash, but there's not going to be that much that happens in it.
No.
But with Seth and Drew, they're both on the money with their moves.
Mm-hmm.
And other than you hear, you hear when Seth comes out and everybody does the, all of that, but they're going to pop for CM Punk.
Yes.
Who I can imagine, weirdly enough, I imagine, and it would piss off Seth like nobody's business. I can imagine Drew comes out, Seth comes out, then CM Punk comes out.
Yeah.
And he comes out when they're both in the ring, and then he like walks past both of them and they both just eyeball him and then sits down in his chair.
Having his moment.
And he said he got a couple of beers with him, sit in his chair with a beer or two, just drinking. Blah, 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 blah. You ain't all of that, right?
Yeah.
The match goes on. I agree with you guys. He'll get involved in the match. Personally, I hope he's just there to count the pin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe Drew is going to win.
100%.
If I was booking it, Drew's winning.
Yeah.
And what I would have is they don't have to have a physical altercation, but maybe I'd have it like Seth hits the stomp, the referee's already down from whatever's happened to him before.
Mm-hmm.
He's covering him. Punk comes in, One, two, Drew kicks out, and he's like, you know, Seth's basically like, what the fuck are you doing in the ring?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
Right? And he was like, look, you better, what, you got other stuff to worry about than me. We'll get into it when I'm better. Don't you worry about that. Seth turned around, Claymore, 1, 2, 3, match done.
That's it.
And then even if you have it, you have Seth out of the ring. Maybe you have Adam Pearce and a bunch of people have to kind of like usher him away because he's pissed off. And then you have an interview in the back where he's like, CM Punk cost me that match. He wasn't even an official, yet he counted the three and everybody's pinned and now they're saying Drew's champion. Mm-hmm. Perfect way for Backlash to have. You have the rematch between them two simply because it was a screwy finish, not because there's no automatic rematch. And then, you know, Drew wins again. Even if he cheats to win, but you haven't won again, and it's like you had your rematch, you lost again.
It's Punk's turn. You've
got other stuff to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay. Nick, what is your second match?
My second match is, I did originally have some of these people in night one, but I pulled them out. My second match is Damage Control, and I'm talking Kabuki Warriors and Dakota Kai. This is Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill.
Okay. Right.
That is my match. And I'm going, because the tag titles aren't on the line, we can have Jade, Bianca, and Naomi have the win. I think they, Kabuki Warriors, I think if they defend those titles at WrestleMania, I think they're going to lose them, but I don't think they want them to. I don't think they want them to lose them. You can't have, if they're defending them against Bianca and Naomi, which they definitely would do if it was just those two, you can't have Bianca lose because Bianca's on her streak, like you said last week, Kenan. Bianca's on her streak. So this is still giving them that streak, still giving Bianca that streak, but it's keeping the something with Damage Control rather than completely shutting down that faction.
Yeah, it's not a bad shot.
Plus it's a good in for Jade Cargill to get something going. So I'm assuming this week on SmackDown, when Jade makes her sort of debut, or not, you know, SmackDown debut anyway, in the ring, I think there'll be something leaning towards her getting involved with those two.
Okay, nice. All right. Right, let's move on to match three. So I've got the Women's Tag Team Championship. So I've got the titles on the line. I have the Kabuki Warriors versus Naomi and Jade Cargill. So I paired them up because obviously I'd had Bianca versus Tiffany as a separate match.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, it just allows Jade to have somebody with experience in terms of Naomi kind of guiding her through. And I'm in two minds. So because I've had Bayley win on night one, I don't have an issue with Kabuki Warriors losing on night two, because I don't think it would affect that first match. So Damage Control can still kind of influence that match with Bayley, and she can still overcome them as a group. But I would have Naomi and Jade Cargill go over, win that, and then Naomi and Jade Cargill can, you know, navigate that championship together. Moving forward. Again, I think potentially the women's championship should be split because all these cross promotions over with the tag championships is really weird. That's the way I'd book it. So that's my match three. Neil, what's your third match?
We are copying each other's homework, gentlemen.
All right. Okay.
Because I have Kabuki Warriors tag titles on the line. I have it versus Naomi and Bianca.
Okay. That's right. Yeah.
The reason I have that is because they've already kind of been leading up to this friendship that has a different opinion on a subject between Naomi and Bianca. Naomi's like, you know what? I can forgive Bayley for all her nonsense. Bianca, like, nah, this woman has cost me a lot. There's no forgiveness. And what I have is I have that match taking place, and, you know, I have it that Dakota Kai keeps getting involved in the match. And then what I have is I have Bayley come out, neutralize Dakota.
Right.
And then as it's now just a 2-on-2, Bianca and Naomi get over, they get the win. Also, because I kind of want, like, the way I look at it, Bianca is very close to emulating Bayley's, like, I don't know what they call it, but I'm just calling it the full, you know, full house. She's won Raw, Grand Slam. She's won SmackDown, have her win the
I could see them doing
have
that.
Have her actually. Win the tag titles. That's all three main rosters.
Yeah.
Then essentially,
was she an NXT champion?
No.
No. Okay.
No, she wasn't. I have Naomi and Bianca win, and also because of the fact of having Bayley interfere in the match, it kind of you can see like when the belt has been won, Naomi's really happy and she gives Bayley a hug, and then Bianca's like,
could have done this myself.
I don't know about you yet, you know. And it'll be like sort of like when Jay went to Raw, it'll be like Bayley trying to prove herself to people, like, you know, you pissed off a lot of people. You have to reclaim some of that lost trust. And then it could lead to a Bianca Belair heel turn when she, you know, eventually stomps the shit out of Bayley and takes the title.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. It's got to happen. Cool.
Yeah. All right. Nick, what was your third match?
US title, triple threat. Right. Match number three. Don't know. It's quick, innit? Logan's going to win. 100%. Logan's going to cheat. Logan's going to win. He's retaining it. He's going to defend it at SummerSlam, wherever he lives. Can't remember where he's from. Cleveland, that's it. Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a cracking match, to be fair.
Yes.
I don't think there's not been a huge amount of hype built up around it. I know it is what it is, but I just don't feel like, and it clearly it's not going to get the same sort of push as Bloodline, Rock v. Roman or anything like that. But even compared to Gunther versus Sammy, I still don't think it's had as much sort of screen time or as much of a push, but I do think it's going to be an absolutely solid match. It's just, we know Paul's going to win it and it's going to be by cheating. So that's probably the only that's probably the biggest negative of it.
That's all right.
For the story, I could see something happening with Randy and KO from a tag team perspective after this, especially if Grayson Waller and Theory end up bringing those titles back to SmackDown.
Yeah,
because they've already started setting that up over the last week or so. So I could see that. Because what else is Randy going to do? You can't insert him into, obviously he's going to lose the US title. So we don't need another one-on-one versus Logan.
Yeah.
You're not going to drop him into Cody because it's two faces against each other. Yeah. And he worked obviously Riddle had his problems, but he worked so well in RK-Bro. And I think to put him, literally it's RKO. It is just that is the team name, isn't it? It's RKO. It's as easy as that. But you can see that even though they're going to be against each other, they've got that sort of camaraderie. And the fact that they both, I think Randy was it who knocked out Grayson Waller in Theory last week, or it might have been Kevin Owens. But they're both against them. And I think that'd be really good first sort of feud if Waller and Theory bring that tag team titles back.
Yeah, and there was a moment, I think it was on SmackDown, and Kevin Owens, he is punching...
Pretty Deadly.
Yeah, Pretty Deadly.
Pretty Deadly.
You know, he knocked them both down with one punch.
He did, yeah. That was
screamed, and he screamed that after Randy. He's like, Randy, I did it again. He's just so proud.
That was such a good tag team.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're great. Definitely want to see more from them. And again, this is why we want two championships, because teams like that should be going for a championship. And
there's nothing going on
fun
SmackDown. I know. Yeah,
there's not. So let's move into match number four. This is where I've got Jay and Jimmy. So I had Jay going over. And like Neil, I think it was a matter of how they're going to finish the match and what kind of level of respect there would be between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I can see, obviously, Jay being the good guy, puts his hand out and Jimmy kind of knocks it away. But then for me, there's going to be a moment in the end match where that comes kind of to fruition. So what have you got for number four, Neil?
I have the triple threat match.
Mm-hmm.
I have Paul winning,
mm-hmm.
but I've changed the finish.
Okay.
Based off what you said, Nick, my finish was going to be that as much as KO and Randy are like, you know, they have a mutual respect and a strong dislike for Logan.
Mm-hmm. Don't we all?
The fact is they want to win that match. They both want to be champion. So eventually it's going to turn into the two of them scrapping. And initially I was just going to have Logan cheats. He wins. Mm-hmm. But it's based off of the fact that KO and Randy, like, they both want the same thing. So they can't be like, oh, you know, they both want the same thing. So they can't both be US champion. So that happens there. Now, what I think would be a better one.
Yeah, I know where you're going now, but yeah, brilliant.
Grayson Waller.
Yes.
And, you know, Austin Theory. I have them come and help Paul win the match.
100%.
Because a triple threat match, you can do what you like. You can, there are no rules. So I have the two of them come down, help out Paul. He wins, which leads to Backlash being a six-man tag match, which then leads to SummerSlam being tag team championships, KO and Randy versus Theory and Waller. They like win the titles there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love it. Like that.
Okay, nice. Nick, what have you got next?
I'd run out of matches at this point. I couldn't think of anything else. So I've robbed something from you lot from last week.
Okay. And
this is where I'm going to put this big meat match thing.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Bronson Reed and Big E and stuff like that. I'm putting it in here.
Nice. This is 100% with it. Big
this is
Ryan
from last week.
Yeah, that's it.
I wasn't sold on it, but I'm sold on it now. I'm going the obvious. I'm going with Bronson Reed. I'm going Ivar if he's not still injured, because he was supposed to be on Raw this week, but they moved him out. That could have been to save him for WrestleMania. I'm going Omos and oh my God, what's his name? Otis.
Strowman.
Otis, yeah.
Oh,
Otis. I'm not convinced on Strowman. I did think Strowman at first, but I'm going like behind the scenes here. Strowman is doing some sort of talk show type thing at WrestleMania weekend. Oh, so I don't know whether that's a sign that he's not match ready yet, but they want him doing something over WrestleMania weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So that for that reason and that reason only, I've not got him in that match. I've got Big E in there somewhere. I don't know whether he's just introing it, whether he's going to be getting involved, or whether he's going to be, I would have said commentating, but I think it's a bit too obvious if we're already also having Punk being a commentator.
Yeah, that's right.
But I could see him as special guest referee.
That'd be something.
With New Day in the form of two enforcers for Big E. Not that he needs them, but I can just imagine his little bodyguards coming out, you know, because he's not 100% match ready. So just to make sure no one messes with Big E on the night, having those two coming down with him as well. But that's what I'm going for that match. And I'd probably say for a win, I think it'd have to be Big Bronson Reed. As much as I'm not really a fan, he's not really had much going. He was supposed to be at Elimination Chamber, but he couldn't because his wife had the baby. So I think this would kind of be his, here you go. Like, you know, we couldn't have this.
Would you throw Bron Breakker in there then and have him win it?
No, because he's tough as nails, but he's not big meat.
He's not big meat.
I could see, I'm torn with that. I could see him. Yes, I think if they put him in there, I could see them putting him in there.
Demolish them all.
So do I, but I don't want him to. I think I think with what he's got going on at the moment, he's still NXT tag champion.
That's right.
I don't think he needs his WrestleMania moment this year.
Similar to
I mean,
had his WrestleMania moment last night.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So, and that was amazing. For instance, like Kenan, I know you've got Tiffany in there as well. I know fair play, you've got to lose in the match, but I think Bron and Tiffany's story arcs are going to come post Mania.
Yeah.
And I think I've actually got a theory for that as well, but not a spoiler this week. I think Tiffany's going to start. I don't think anything's going to happen straight away, but I think Raw after WrestleMania, or SmackDown, sorry, after WrestleMania, I could see us getting Alexa Bliss back because she's in the gym. She's training. She's not going to be fighting anytime soon, but she is in the gym, so she's back.
Make an appearance. And
I could see a Tiffany versus Alexa Bliss.
Nice.
Going.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Neil likes that.
Neil likes that. My match number five, I've got the US Championship. So Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. Same. I'd book Logan Paul to win. I might even have KSI show up. Why not?
Oh, gosh. I hope he gets RKO'd.
But I don't know.
RKO. I want him to get stunned.
Both.
Yeah, he's had the RKO, hasn't he?
Both.
So I think that I'm torn between having Randy and Kevin teaming up or them turning into a feud. Because of this match.
I see that.
Yes, but at the moment, I'm going to go with Logan Paul. I don't know who's going to go after that championship next. Maybe it might be an LA Knight's turn to go back to it.
I would agree.
But yeah, for me, it's a Logan Paul booking. I've realized I've got 9 matches in this night, so I've got them all out. So how many matches have you got in total?
I've got 7 in total.
So you got 7.
I got 3 matches left.
You got three matches left. All right, fine. So, Neil, what's your match number 5?
It is Becky versus Rhea.
Okay.
Right. Okay. And how are you booking that?
Rhea is going to eat Becky like a Subway sandwich.
Cool.
Right. He's going to just absolutely demolish her because the last 2 times Becky was main eventing WrestleMania or either a champion or challenging for a title, she won. She has the biggest WrestleMania moment in women's history.
Becky 2 belts. Yeah.
Mm. Yep. She has had all the things that she needs. And the way I'm looking at it is Rhea faced off against Charlotte when she was like, you know, Charlotte come after the NXT title and she lost. She had her rematch and won spectacularly. But I think she needs to definitively beat Becky Lynch. She needs to beat her in a way that definitively, and the whole thing when Becky was like, you know, getting teary eyed and talking about how much she loves her dad and blah, 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 right. I'm like, okay, cool. You know what that reminds me of? Cody Rhodes. You know who's how I have winning their match? Cody Rhodes. So you got to lose for Cody to win.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't make sense to book Becky at this point to win. I absolutely agree. So, Nick, what have you got for your match number 5?
Match number 5, I've got Seth versus Drew. Yeah. I wanted to put it second to last, but I thought we need to break it up a little bit. So I'm going Seth versus Drew. I'm pretty much what Neil said. I'm going Drew win, some sort of interference from Punk. And I think that's to set up both. I think it's to set up some sort of feud against Seth in the future. But again, I'd be very apprehensive about that match because I think it will bleed into reality quite a lot, which I think is potentially not where they want to go. Although they're letting them sort of stretch the legs now, aren't they? We're getting back to Attitude Era. So some of the things that Punk was saying on this week's Raw, like calling them a pair of dipshits and stuff like that, it's fantastic stuff. So it sells. The crowd love it. Everyone loves it. Neil doesn't like it, but everybody else does. No, so
I love everything.
So I think I could see that happening, but I think this has got to be built into the sets to the Drew Punk title match at some point, SummerSlam, whenever Punk's ready. But yeah, it's got to be Drew to win this. I don't know what Seth's going to do after this. Maybe filming, because he's in Captain America 4 or whatever it is. That's out.
Apparently, his filming has been pulled. So he did all the filming for it. Apparently, his scenes have been scrapped. But so I don't know if he's going to go back and refilm.
I think it's going through reshoots, though, isn't it? It's paused at the moment, filming. It's due to resume any week now. So maybe we just need to give Seth a bit of a break. He's battered. He's knackered. And again, can you imagine Seth going away for a couple of months and then coming back maybe after summer? What about Punk winning the title at SummerSlam? Because he's going to win that title. Punk winning the title at SummerSlam and then Seth pulling a Punk at the very, very end and coming out at Survivor Series. Something along that line. The pop from him being back, but also the pop of him coming back at that moment.
Yeah, you say that. Something. I'd have him gone for even longer. I'd have him unannounced number 30 at the Royal Rumble. WrestleMania, and then at WrestleMania, him versus Punk.
I don't want another Cody Seth feud either. Do you know?
Yeah, I mean, you can see him and Becky both having a bit of time off together, right? Like after WrestleMania.
Yeah. Which is why it's perfect if they both lose.
Yeah,
book tour and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised we haven't got a reality show with them, to be honest. But there we go.
Yet.
Right, so let's move on to match number 6. So match number 6 was an extra one I threw in here because I thought that potentially both of these, they kind of were in the title picture for a long period, but not. So I didn't want them not to necessarily be on the show and just be part of the Battle Royal. I've got Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax. just a one-on-one David and Goliath kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that could be quite an entertaining match.
Yeah.
And I think I would put, I would book Liv to go over because I think a lot of the crowd still like her. And mm-hmm. I think potentially that will be the next feud. It'll be her and Ripley because of their feud before. And what, they were tag team together for a while, weren't they? Her and Rhea.
Yeah, they were.
You know, she's already mentioned about she wants to take everything away from her. And I think that will just lead into that. And we'll go with that feud moving forward. So, mm-hmm. yeah, so that'll be my match number six. Neil, what's your match number six?
Is I'm calling them Hurt Business 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus the Final Testament.
Really? That late in the day?
Wow. I need something that nobody's going to dramatically care about.
It is toilet break. Yeah,
it's it is.
Toilet break, 100% yeah. toilet break territory.
The next match.
Yeah. No, so, I get that. Makes sense.
Yeah, right, I have that enough. As that match. It'll be a nice, just like, okay, I can ease into this. Mm-hmm. I have Karrion Kross and Co. winning.
Yeah.
And I think what it then does is, I don't want it to be like they separate on bad terms. Mm-hmm. But you just have it, they lose and have the Street Profits and that kind of milling around for a little bit of time until the draft, and then you separate them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Create a bit of animosity in the group of off the back of the loss and then get them separated. Yeah.
Nick, what's your next match?
Rhea versus Becky here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, I think we all know it's got to be Rhea. There's no way Rhea's not retaining. And if they are, if she does, it's very, very bad writing. Rhea needs to retain this. Becky, I think, yeah, similar to Seth, I think she needs to. I was going to say she needs to go away. That sounds really negative. I don't mean it in that way. Yeah. But she needs to take a little bit of a break. And again, the return will be massive. I also think it's just going to be a case of Becky. It's Becky helping to push Rhea. It's Becky helping to push the future, you know, the future big women's wrestler. While I do think that Rhea will tear through Becky, because I think that's the way it's going to go, and you're completely right, Neil, I think it's going to be similar to the Brock-Cody match at SummerSlam, where Brock-Cody just kept coming back, except with this one, Becky's going to keep coming back. She's going to keep coming back for more, but she's obviously not going to win. But I think it will end on that level of respect. It'll be Becky sort of respect to Rhea of this is your time now, you're it.
Yeah.
And Rhea back to Becky of bloody hell, how did you cope with that? You are an absolute, you're a legend. You're the legend, you know what I mean? And that'll be the end of that match. As much as Rhea, I get, is a heel, she's not. She's like Seth.
Mm. Do you know what? I imagine Becky's loss, and if it goes the way you're thinking, that she just keeps coming back, I imagine it will soften Rhea in the way that she keeps coming back, which could lead to a face turn for Rhea, because if you piggyback off what I said from night one, I think this WrestleMania is the end of the Judgment Day.
I would agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. Neil, how many more matches have you got? Just the main event. Nick?
I've just got the main event, yeah.
Okay. So I've obviously got the two. So I've got, I'd have next number seven, I'd have Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Yeah. And it's, how would I do this? For me, I'd have to book Drew to win. Mm-hmm. But I would just make this match a little bit more crazy and just have Damian Priest attempt to cash in.
Yeah.
For this match, and obviously failing miserably, and maybe even turn it into a triple threat, or Drew wins it, he tries to cash in on Drew, and Drew takes him down and keeps it, you know, so again, unsuccessful cash in, and we just get rid of that briefcase, because again, just the whole downfall of the Judgment Day, you know, they've lost their tag titles, and they've got nothing left kind of thing, So yeah, I would just get that knocked on the head and get it out of the way.
What a waste of a Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah. If it wasn't for the fact that you're saying we, you know, all pretty much in agreement that Seth and Becky need time off, I would say how fitting would it be if Damian Priest cashed in on that match in exactly the same way that Seth cashed in on Roman and Brock. This match is literally a house of cards. because if you anything other than a Drew win, chances are he's leaving the company.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
see, I thought I've been sitting there thinking that this, it, you know, it's got, it's 100% got to be Drew, because like you said, he's gonna go, but also he's, it is WrestleMania, it's his proper WrestleMania moment.
Yeah.
But then you got to think back that up until Royal Rumble, he wasn't getting a WrestleMania moment. It was probably going to be Punk. So maybe it isn't as important to TKO, WWE, whoever, Triple H, that he gets this. You just, it's, I think it's fallen into place really nicely.
Yeah.
And I think
I mean, he's had a couple really of well, chances but, against Seth, hasn't he? You know, and he's just come up short. So it's not,
it's
like
100%. This is a backup plan, this 100%. So, but I don't know. I think he'd be stupid to go over to AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but if they wanted to push
and to work out the best,
yeah.
Kofi Mania was a backup plan.
Yeah.
No, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm also wouldn't be surprised if Seth actually won this, because last year it was him versus Logan, I think at WrestleMania, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, he hasn't had a WrestleMania moment in a while. He won the championship via a tournament, Clash of Champions, like back in May.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, it's not out of the realm of him going over either. If they wanted both him and Cody.
I think to, it is, because even though you're right, he hasn't had a WrestleMania moment in a while. Arguably top five WrestleMania moments of all time.
Yeah. Definitely agree. There. But if they want to pull the trigger on Priest, now would be the time.
If Seth wins, if they really want to do it, you could have Seth retain, and then
he could cash in on Seth.
Yeah. If Seth retains, then
Damien's 100% cashing in successfully. I would say so, yeah.
Yeah. All
right. Yeah. And then backlash will be Drew versus Damien.
Yeah. So then my next match was second to last of the night is Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch. I'm exactly the same page as you guys. I book Rhea to win strong. And potentially, like Neil said, maybe hint at maybe a little slight face turn, a little bit of softening. And I don't think that would necessarily be a bad thing. And fair play to Dom for taking that right hand from Becky on Raw this week.
I've only seen the clip.
Yeah, it was a pretty good connection, to be fair. Yeah, for me, that relationship needs to end quite soon. And I don't know where, but I don't think it's going to happen this WrestleMania. I think it's going to happen down the road. And I'd prefer it maybe to happen with Liv in that kind of confrontation going on there.
Yeah,
exactly what I said.
Yeah, exactly. But WrestleMania is probably not the time. But at the moment, I don't have Dom in a match, which I'm kind of shocked about as well. So, but I do have him in a segment. So he may be in part of the LWO match and stuff like that, and maybe cause some shenanigans. But I've then got an entertainment section, and I wasn't sure whether this would happen in the main event, and I don't think it will, because I think it might be a bit too much. But there was hints that at the Rock and Cody Rhodes segment at the end of Raw, they had the truck behind them with Cena and Austin's face on the back, on the side of the truck. And people are like,
I didn't notice that. I just noticed that when he slammed him into it, it was like I could see Cody's dog.
Yeah, and it's very, so this is the truck on the background. So he slammed him into his own coach, so Cody's coach, but there was a truck. And you don't often see those with Cena and Austin's face on.
No.
Like,
it's always dusty. Okay, and
is that a little bit of a hint that if we are going to have this endgame moment, is it something like Cena and Austin coming down to save Cody at the end of the match? So I'm in two parts. One, I thought, like Neil, like I think Ryan said he was going to have like an opening segment, sort of like with the Stone Cold and stuff like that. I thought I could have something here where you have John Cena, Stone Cold, and like Undertaker come out, and they could just squash Dom and McDonough, JD, you know, and just demolish them just as an entertainment section. So there's potentially I could do that. But I'm also thinking potentially having them come down, but I think it might take the edge off, because I'm expecting The Rock to be there, you know, in and around the ring for night two. Do I bring Stone Cold in and Cena for that? And it's just like, where would that go? So I'm not too sure on that. But if not, I'd have that entertainment section just before, have them all out, and then just squash some people for a bit of WrestleMania fun. So, yeah.
I mean, it's, do you know what? For the art of storytelling, I can't have them there.
Mm-hmm. It's going to happen though.
I know. For the art of storytelling, I can't have them there, because anything other than people who are already involved feels interrupting cheap. The match in any way ruins that match for me, right?
Yeah, I'd have Sammy turn up. So I'd be, yeah, if he, you know, he got mean, beat by Gunther.
He had such a connection to it because he was in the bloodline. Yes. And then it's like, then you have, because one thing I say is I don't believe Seth Rollins should come out at any moment during this that main event match.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's just anyone who was in the bloodline and Cody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But at the same time, I say this and I'm like, WWE, spend every single solitary dollar, dime, and nickel you have.
Yeah.
And make the special effect of freaking Doctor Strange opening a portal and then having Austin and Cena walk out. I'll love you forever.
They could do that at the entrance. If they did that at the entrance, they'd have the portals.
You know? Just, hey, Cody.
Because
and a glass break. Whoosh.
Yeah. Oh, look, we're at our final match. Roman Reigns, Cody Rhodes. Bloodline rules. What do you think that is going to be?
Well, the thing is, the problem they have is when they had tribal combat, right? The rules were supposed to stipulate that that no one could get involved until the match was over.
Right. Okay.
But Jimmy interrupted mid-match and caused Jay to lose. So I can imagine that bloodline rules is like, you know, it's your no DQ match.
Yeah.
What I would like it to be is that only members of bloodline can be involved in the match, which then gives you credence to have Jay and
Sammy
come out. Because then you have that thing of, well, you said only bloodline members. You didn't say past or present. You just said they had to have been in the bloodline. Those two have been in the bloodline. That gives them reason to be there. And also it still means that Cody is outnumbered. Because it's important that Cody is outnumbered. It's important because he went to WrestleMania last year alone. And he was outnumbered because it was Roman, Solo, and the Usos. Right? So that's 4-on-1. But now you've got Roman, Rock, Jimmy, Solo. That's 4-on-1, but now you've got Jay and potentially Sammy. I mean, you know, they probably won't make bloodline rules. Only bloodline members can be in it. And Seth will probably turn up at some point in it. But it's important to me, at least, that Cody is at the bottom of the hill. He is the absolute 100% underdog.
Yeah.
Because him winning, like, I'm trying to think, the last two times I've seen somebody cry after winning a title was Daniel Bryan, and even though Kofi didn't cry, Xavier Woods was crying, but Shawn Michaels when he beat Bret, and I'm like, Cody's gonna cry
when he wins
that match, and I'm like, you need a moment as well where, you know, Cody's mama is coming into the ring, or he goes up to the front row, gives her the title and hugging, you know, it needs to be like that. But Cody needs to be our number two. You need to think he is going to lose.
Yeah. Dusty actually put a tweet out following the Raw as well, which I thought was quite interesting. His wife and Dusty. And I'm wondering whether his wife will make a ringside appearance. Because she hasn't been front facing. I thought that,
but what's she going to do?
Yeah,
well, she just be next to her mother-in-law, innit?
Yeah, next to the mum. Yeah,
I suppose she could be there. Yeah, but I think I can see. I'm thinking Bloodline Rules is literally just going to be the fact that the Bloodline are around, surrounding the ring, and there's nobody else supposed to be there. And yeah, you can have Jay, you can have Sammy come down, but realistically, you're going to then end up with Sammy versus Solo, Jay versus Jimmy, round two. It's who's going to sit there and stand against The Rock. And I thought, well, maybe Dusty will come down and stand against The Rock, but that's going to be over in about 3 seconds. So it's who's gonna do that. But maybe you don't need it. Maybe that is the disadvantage that Cody's going to get, because even though you're going to have all the Bloodline there, it's realistically going to be Cody versus Roman and The Rock, even though Rock won't be in the match, and he'll somehow overcome that.
But that's the beauty of it, is you think of it like that and you have Cody versus Roman and The Rock, because Jimmy's going against Jay. Sammy is dealing with Solo. Cool. Nobody's dealing with The Rock. He's still the final boss.
Exactly.
So when Roman loses, it becomes a thing of, Cody, you've earned my respect. Especially because if you think, when Cody slapped The Rock, he was like, The Rock was smiling because you earned his respect for a minute, and then you started crying, right? That thing of the potential for Cody to earn The Rock's respect is still there, no matter the whole Mama Rhodes and blood on the belt and all of that. Despite all of that, it's still a thing of, he is there. And
it's dead delicate, this, because you've got to have Cody win clean.
But
you're not realistically gonna have anybody get one over on The Rock either. Let's just be real about it. It's not gonna happen. So the only way I can see that happening is that somehow during this match, The Rock, or sorry, Roman lets down The Rock so much that The Rock then steps back to go, right, you deal with him now. And then Cody beats him. Because that way you're getting a clean Cody win, still 1-on-1.
Yeah.
But also you're not getting The Rock having been beaten. You've got The Rock stepping back and going, you deal with your own shit now, Roman. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's the only way I can see it.
Yeah, but you easily have that in the opportunity of Roman goes to spear Cody, misses, and hits The Rock.
Something along those lines. I still can't see The Rock taking a hit. I don't know. I don't know why.
Taking a spear.
He could take a hit. He just won't get, because he's not going to get pinned on night two. He's not going to get pinned at all.
And all it is it doesn't matter how long.
And if it's the tribal chief, it's not Cody, and I think that's an easier for him to take, because it sets that up.
He's not expecting a spear from Roman, but he takes the spear, and even if he takes the spear and he rolls out of the ring, that's a long enough period of time for him to take the spear, roll out the ring. Whilst all of that's happening, Roman realizes what he's done, turns around into a crossroads, takes the loss, or and it's Rock didn't have time to react. He took a spear and was out of the ring. And by the time he'd fully recovered, the match is over.
Yeah, but I can see it being more along the lines of, what if it was more so that at the end of the day, this is going to build to a tribal chief. Who is the tribal chief? Yeah. Is it The Rock or Roman? I think a better way to do it would be potential, again, to stop The Rock taking a hit. Because I really don't think he's going to want to do something like that. Roman getting frustrated and shouting and talking down to The Rock at some point in the match, and The Rock going, whoa, you're not my tribal chief. You can see you later. You deal with this now. And I think that would be also part of the setup for it. And then that way he's not taking a spear. The Rock isn't being seen to be incompetent. It's more of, it's creating that friction. And it's, even though he sat there and he said, my tribal chief, all that sort of stuff, and he's knelt down on the floor to him, when it comes to that moment, it'll be, you don't tell me what to do. I'm the final boss. I'm the high chief. If you want to tell me, if you think you're going to boss me around, you show me you're the tribal chief then, and you beat Cody on your own. And then when that doesn't happen, that's when that'll lead to, right, well, if you can't do it, I'll be the new tribal chief, and that'll create that animosity.
I mean, if you really want to push the ultimate face of the company that they have put, putting Cody Rhodes on, the other aspect I thought that they could go down was that whether Jay wins the match, maybe Jimmy attacks him afterwards and Solo gets involved and Jimmy is put completely out of commission. Seth is put out of commission by Drew, yeah, you know,
I think he's out of it,
yeah. On behalf of Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman comes out and gives him a signal after the match. He beats him down, puts him completely out of commission. So Sammy's just beaten by Gunther. He doesn't have it either. So actually, Cody is then all alone. But instead of coming down to the ring all alone, he has Cena and Austin there as his enforcers, in a sense. And that way completely takes all the others out of it. It brings them into that picture. And The Rock is going to obviously be reluctant to do anything. He's got his ad history, both of these characters, and he steps back. And maybe it's just that Cena and Austin, maybe they don't come out with Cody. Maybe Cody comes out by himself, but maybe they both come out later and support him. Like you say, that end game thing is just like, it looks like Cody's down and out. It's like the Bloodline versus Cody just by himself, because it's going to be a no DQ match. Let's face it.
That's it. Yeah.
So it's going to be a no DQ match. They're going to be just taking pops at Cody. He's going to be down on his knees, barely anything left. Cena, Austin, they come down. They take the Bloodline out. The Rock backs away. I'm not getting involved in this. Leaves Roman in the ring alone. And then Cody can have his moment. I could see that happening. And then you could almost have Stone Cold and Cena, both of that passing of the torch.
Onto Cody.
Yeah. In the ring at the end, saying, this is now your guy.
Because can you see The Rock backing down, though, to Cena and Austin? I know you would, but...
Only backing down from a, I don't want to get involved. Or he would just stand his ground. Maybe he might just stand his ground rather than backing down. Do
you know how I can see it happening? Everything you say takes place. You know, there is no Jimmy, there is no Jay, there is no Sammy. It's just, you know, Cody dealing with it. And then because of the fact that you have Solo and Jimmy there, you do have that moment where Cody is all alone. He's being beat down. Maybe he's just been kicking out of spears like nobody's business, but he's still just getting beat down. You then have that moment. You hear Cena's music, and then he comes part of the way down the ramp.
Then
maybe even you have that, and you have The Rock just standing there being like the guard dog. You're not coming down here. And then you have Solo and Jimmy on either side of him. But then you have Austin. You hear the glass shatter. Austin comes out. And now it's like, okay. And then maybe Rock sends Jimmy and Solo up the ramp to go deal with
fight
them.
Yeah.
To which, you know, stunner, attitude adjustment. And then it's the fact that it's the two of them, the two men Rock has had the most difficulty with on a main event stage, both just there.
Watching. Like,
your guard dogs are gone.
Yeah.
If you, the guy who beat you, you know, 2 out of 3 times at WrestleMania, and the guy who you're 1-1 with at WrestleMania. You are not going to win against both of them, final or not.
Yeah.
I like this. Yeah. And then Roman kicking off and going, what are you doing? Don't pay attention to them. Get in here and help me.
Yeah.
Telling him what to do. Rock comes in, slaps Roman like he did Cody and walks away.
I don't even have him go in the ring. I have Roman leave the ring. Turn Rock around, like, what the hell are you doing? You're worried about them. Look at what we got going on here. And then maybe he pushes Rock a little too far. That's when it's the slap.
Walk away.
And then it's like,
okay.
And then he getting back in the ring. Cody, bam, crossroads, 1, 2, 3.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You've got your clean win. You've got The Rock still coming out on top. It'll be something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's how you book WrestleMania. All right. Awesome, guys. So that's it. Any other surprises, any other twists and turns that you guys want to talk about?
We've not got a return. That's the thing, isn't it?
We've not got a big return. We haven't got a return, but what about the Raw after WrestleMania as well? I think that's a big return. Because normally that's when Brock comes back.
I think the Raw after WrestleMania will be the unveiling of Carmelo Hayes as a main roster superstar. It's not a big deal. But it will be like he'll come over.
It'll be Carmelo over to. I think you're right. It'll be Carmelo over to Raw. Yeah, and then I think he'll have an Alexa. I'm convinced we'll have an Alexa Bliss Come back. Yeah, but I'm not 100% sure whether it's going to be Raw or whether it's going to be SmackDown. Mm-hmm. But if you're bringing Carmella over to Raw, do it SmackDown, put her up against Tiffany, and you've got a little bit of a you've got a little bit to do there.
Yeah, because the thing is, I'm torn because of the fact that Carmella Hayes has already had matches on SmackDown.
Yes, but then they did nothing with it. They pulled him back. They put him back into NXT and started this feud against Trick, and it's like, well, what was the point?
Well, I think it's because the title that was on the line, it was just...
It lent to the story.
It lent to him being in it because he just, you know, I think he just lost the NXT title. So it leads to him already being on a run. Well, yeah, well, you're good enough for a title.
Yeah. It's testing the waters with his heel turn as well, though, isn't he? Because he was a full-on face when he came over to SmackDown. They've sent him back over. They've turned him heel. Maybe it's like, right, what's the response to heel Carmelo Hayes? It's good. Yeah. Great. So let's bring him back now. But we needed to send him here to do it because he couldn't, he couldn't be the face of NXT and then come straight in as a heel. It just wouldn't.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't make sense.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, I think that's probably...
You're right. I think it could be a women's return. Like Alexa Bliss is a really good shout. Carmella, I don't know if she's ready to come back because, you know, she was off having a baby. Yeah. So she could come back.
Do we want Carmella back?
No, not, I'm not in a rush. It's fine.
You know what? Do I want her back? No. Would I like her back because I need a stacked women's roster because I need, you know, the likes of Jade Cargill to run through everybody? Yeah, come on back.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing though, isn't it? Yeah. If they had any sense, the Raw after WrestleMania or the SmackDown after WrestleMania, they'd introduce a mid-card women's title because we're sitting there and we've got so many fantastic women wrestlers here that are struggling and just aren't getting a spot in WrestleMania whatsoever. And it's like, well, just, you know, they've brought it down to one tag team championship across all three brands. Yes. And there's no mid-card titles across any of those three brands. Give us one or give us two mid-card titles.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree. I would love it if, you know, on Raw after WrestleMania, you have, in fact, this works perfectly. Raw after WrestleMania. Bear with me, gentlemen.
I'm all right.
Raw after WrestleMania. You've got Adam Pearce in the ring talking about, you know, how wonderful it is that everything's gone on and all the amazing stuff that everybody's done. You have him highlight the fact that Rhea Ripley is demolished, you know, that. And then you say, you know what? But the women's roster is so stacked. There's so many amazing talents. You have him list some of these talents, and then you have him say, we need another title, introducing the Women's Intercontinental Championship. It's the white strap version of Rumble's title.
Yeah.
And it was like, we're going to have a tournament for it. Mm-hmm. The tournament participants will be, you know, and he just lists seven, you know, Raw women. And then it's like, all right, cool. It's going to be all of you. You're all going to be in there. You're all going to have your moment. And then it's just like, and the final participant will be, and then you just hear Alexa Bliss's music kick in.
Amazing.
Yeah. Strolls out. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, shit, she's back.
She won't need a match for another 2 or 3 weeks because you have a tournament style. So it gives her a chance to just be on the mic and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like
they need it. What are they going to do with all these? What are they going to do with all this talent? I mean, absolutely. I was even thinking of other talent. I'd be honest, I don't really rate Shayna Baszler that much, but I think Zoe Stark, I think she is so capable, and she's... Definitely. I know she had a little feud with Rhea. She was never going to win it, but you've got all this. You've got really good, talented women here with nothing to do. And realistically, it's like Rhea's not going to drop that title for a while. Not until, I mean, I was going to say drop it to Jade, but that's not going to happen because she's on SmackDown. But she's not going to drop it anytime soon. Bayley is probably not going to drop that title anytime soon when she wins it until it's time to give it to Jade. But what about everybody else? You can't just have them fighting over one set of tag titles.
I firmly believe that we're saying this, but I firmly believe that Jade will probably remain on SmackDown because they've just introduced her as a SmackDown competitor. They're not going to move her. But I think the Women's World Championship and the Women's WWE Championship will end up on opposite brands.
I agree.
I think the same with the World Championship and WWE Championship. I think they will both just swap and be on other brands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're not going to take Cody off.
Yeah, you're not taking Cody off Raw, and mm-hmm. Drew McIntyre winning and then winding up on SmackDown works fine because now he's got a crop of other people he can feud with.
Yeah, because Roman's going. Once Roman's lost that title, Roman's disappeared mm-hmm. for months. You're not going to see him. Yeah, so where's exactly? So where's the big name?
Saudi show. So yeah.
You've got Randy, Kevin Owens, who I don't believe are going to go after it. They're probably going to go down their own feud or tag titles or something like that. And then you've got LA Knight and AJ Styles going after the World Heavyweight Championship. Mm. You need somebody else big.
Mm.
So you need to bring Drew over.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout. That's a good shout. Okay, well, that's it. Pretty much that's WrestleMania. And we were going to do a prediction show, but I don't think that's really necessary.
We've kind of done it
over the last two episodes. I mean, the card as it is, I think, you know, we've spoken about our outcomes, what we think is going to happen anyway. So it's only the additional matches that we've created on top of that. And so I think that'll be pretty much it. So I'll make a note of all these. I'll draw up a list and then we'll score it after WrestleMania mm-hmm. to see how close we came. But I think, trouble is, most of us are on the same page, so it's going to be very similar prediction cards.
Points all around, exactly.
You wait till Roman retains.
It's just going to throw it.
In fact, can I just change mine now to Roman?
Yeah, exactly. There's a part of me that thinks he might do it if they want him to break Hogan's record. He has to retain, and there's part of me that they do kind of want to write Hogan out a little bit. I mean, they've eased him back in a little bit, and maybe he might make an appearance on the show, like opening the show and stuff again. But I just there is that part of me that isn't solely convinced.
He's not that far off either. I think if it was years away,
September.
If you another 6 months.
September.
Yeah, I think it's like 9th or 10th of September.
Where are you going then? You're going to defend it as a Survivor Series. It's not big enough. You're then rolling into WrestleMania next year, and we're not getting Cody Roman 3.
No, not if you lose twice, then it doesn't warrant it. So, but yeah, it wouldn't shock me.
No, it wouldn't.
At the same time, it wouldn't shock me.
My biggest thing I'm thinking is, does Cody get his wish if he wins?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know Cody's biggest wish is to basically bring back or bring a variation of the original Winged Eagle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Title. And I'm like, does he get his wish if that happens?
Unless he wins via DQ. And doesn't get the title.
No. You know what the problem?
It's going to be a no DQ match. But
do you know what the horrible thing about that would be? And that's exactly what happened to his dad.
Yeah, it was.
That's all right.
He beat Ric Flair by a count out, and he was celebrating with the title. And they were like, "You do not win the title on a count out."
How are you guys watching it? Are you just watching at home? Are you meeting with anybody?
I am watching it live in my home.
Yeah, nobody else I know likes wrestling, so it's me and the kids. They're off school on the Monday, Easter holidays, so they're staying up.
Yeah,
it would have been probably at Ryan's, but
they got the new baby.
Man, Ryan,
congratulations to Ryan.
Yeah, congrats
on the new addition. He would have been here to give his night too, but yeah, he's had a Griffin, isn't it? Griffin has joined his family and has already
a new member of his bloodline.
Yeah, he's already acknowledged him. I think that's about it. Anything else, gentlemen, before we go? Nick, tell us about That Superhero Thing podcast.
Oh yeah, thanks. That Superhero Thing, we're back. We've had a break of about 6 months. We came back last month. Last week, we covered the premiere episodes of X-Men 97. Fantastic. We're not going to cover them this week. We're going to do a season wrap-up. This week, we are doing something that you guys have done on Creative Control before, and we are trying to fix the MCU. So... it's hard.
Yes, it is.
But that is what we're going to be doing this week. So yeah, we're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're just That Superhero Thing, and you can find us on X and Instagram as well.
Yeah. And if you want to sound off to that superhero thing and give your ideas on how to fix the MCU, you can catch their Instagram posts and give your comments on there, and then they will put that out into their podcast.
We'll send them to Kevin Feige.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me today, gentlemen. Much appreciated. And thank you for listening. Thank you for sticking with us. I don't know if I'm probably going to have to trim this episode quite a bit. It's gone on for quite a while.
6 hours.
Exactly. Yeah. It's almost as long as WrestleMania. As always, thank you very much. Make sure you hit that like and subscribe. We really appreciate it. And you can catch a video version of Creative Control on YouTube and Spotify. And the audio version is available on every podcast platform from Apple, Google, Audible, Good Pods. We are there. And that's it. And so enjoy WrestleMania. And let us know in the comments who you think is going to be winning these matches. Who is going to be winning the main event? What's going to happen to the bloodline? Let us know. And that's it. And so until next time, acknowledge us and peace out.
Cheers, guys.